Hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, September 29th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
You are so right. I'm trying to tell you that I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I have a really delectable show for you today. We have a big, hot, juicy load of stimulating questions from the sexually worrisome. And I respond with an equally number of dazzling, engaging, and also informative responses. Hey, it's what I do. And just to mix things up a bit, I'm going to throw in a nice product review. You're going to love this one. Today's podcast is appropriately brought to you by one of my all-time favorite sponsors, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish gear right there at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. You'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yesiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty sex toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did. Before we begin today's delightful show, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just need to talk dirty for a minute or two. Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680.
Go on, talk to me. Go on, talk to me. You like making fun of me, don't you? You think it's fun making fun of me, don't you?
Holy cow. Hopefully you'll be a little bit more stable than this woman. But there's no need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling my hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent is Lilia. She's 27 and she writes from Evansville, Indiana, of all places. She writes, "My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years. We have a great sex life together, or we did. Recently, he asked me if I would be interested in some anal play, me inserting something in his butt. I thought, okay, let's give it a try. After some fumbling around the first time, I was very self-conscious, I really got into it. It was very empowering. I never imagined how different it was inserting a dildo into someone as opposed to being inserted into, if you know what I mean. We both were having such a good time, and I could see that he was totally turned on by all the play. After one of these very fun sessions, I made the offhanded remark that all the butt play was going to make him gay. This innocent remark had an immediate and devastating effect on him. It was as if I had slapped him in the face. He stormed out of the room and sulked all the rest of the day. I told him I was just joking, but he didn't believe me, and now there is no butt play at all. In fact, there's not much sex between us anymore. I really screwed up, I know. I had no idea he would react this way. Is there anything I can do to redeem myself? I feel absolutely dreadful." Wow, touchy little bugger, isn't he? What we have here is some unresolved masculinity issues on the part of your butt pirate boyfriend. Too bad he's cutting his nose off to spite his face instead of dealing with his issues up front. And just to put your mind at rest, Lydia, this implosion was bound to happen sooner or later. I know you feel bad about triggering it, but it's really not your fault. In his defense, we could chalk up your boyfriend's regrettable response to your poking fun as a result of a lifetime of homophobic conditioning. One can only guess at the virulent anti-gay messages he's received throughout his lifetime there in one of the reddest of red states. I think we can all agree that Evansville, Indiana is no San Francisco, California. All us men, including all us gay men, have some vestiges of homophobia inside us, and some have a whole lot. It's regrettable, but that doesn't make it any less the truth. This fear we all carry around inside of us can turn us inside out. It can get in the way of us accepting and loving ourselves for who we are, if we are indeed gay, and this fear can lead us to all kinds of destructive and antisocial behavior against others, if we are straight. I'd be willing to guess your boyfriend is the kind of guy that tells fag jokes and laughs the loudest when he hears the same. I'd be willing to guess that your boyfriend is the kind of guy that raises an eyebrow and possibly even a fist when he encounters an effeminate man. I'd be willing to guess that your boyfriend is the kind of guy that overcompensates for even the slightest perceived feminine tendencies within himself. I'd be willing to guess that your boyfriend is the kind of guy that has very structured and uniform notions of what a woman's place in society should be. I added this last one because I'm convinced that the root of all homophobia is actually a fear and hatred of women. In the worldview of most men, masculinity is privileged, making it superior to femininity. To these men, it's an affront to their world order to see any other man behave in less than a masculine way, even if that behavior is in the privacy of his own bedroom. This strict sex role stereotyping has them in a stranglehold. One can only imagine the massive internal conflict your boyfriend must have struggled with before he asked you to bugger him. Imagine his chagrin when the only person in the whole wide world he'd ever opened up to about this mortifying desire of his turned around and made a joke about it. And a fag joke on top of it. I know, you didn't mean it to be a fag joke, but it was one nonetheless, at least in his mind. Your harmless little comment went to the heart of his insecurities. He has been found out, and the tables have been turned on him, and all he was left with was his shame. How enormously sad. Can I tell you a story? Early in my therapeutic career, I had a couple come see me for marriage counseling, and they were a pretty conservative heterosexual couple with two preteen children. They were both prim and proper, and neither one had so much as a hair out of place. Can you say button down? When I got around to asking them to tell me what was wrong, the wife broke into sobs. She couldn't talk. I thought to myself, oh my God, this is going to be juicy. The husband hung his head in shame and began to spill the beans. The story is that after 10 years of marriage, he finally got up the courage to ask the little woman for a little oral sex. Apparently, she was mortified at the suggestion. Good girls don't do that. It took another 2 years of supplication on his part before she finally relented and gave him his one and only blowjob. I was spellbound as he recounted the fateful night that he finally got his wish. His wife, on the other hand, was completely beside herself, holding her face in her hands. With a little prompting from me, the husband continued his story. The blowjob started out very tentatively. The little woman was doing all she could to suppress her natural inclinations not to gag as she got closer to his Johnson. But then she finally relented, And after all those years of pent-up waiting and fantasizing about this moment, she took a deep breath and wrapped her lips around the head of his dick. He was so overjoyed and completely lost in the moment when somehow he let pass from his lips the unfortunate word, cocksucker, in reference to the mother of his children down there between his legs smoking his pole. Where this word came from, he couldn't say. It wasn't a word he could ever remember consciously using ever before in his life. But there it was, that night of all nights. And that, Delilah, was all she wrote. Before the husband knew what was happening, his wife spat out his boner with a yelp and fled to the bathroom to wash her mouth out with soap. From that night to weeks later, when they found themselves in my company, not only were there no more blowjobs, but no nookie whatsoever. It took weeks and weeks to uncover the root of the wife's aversion to oral sex, giving or receiving. An unhappy childhood, an abusive father, Catholic guilt, countless messages about sex being dirty, low self-esteem, and her being pre-orgasmic, all fueled her disconnect with sex, in general, and oral sex in particular. This, coupled with the unfortunate and untimely exclamation by the husband, was the straw that broke the camel's back. Isn't it amazing how one word can short-circuit the whole shebang? I suppose you see where I'm going with this, huh, Lilia? Your little comment triggered a landslide in your boyfriend's psyche. The delicate house of cards he was able to assemble to hold on to his homophobia and still take it up the ass was simply not strong enough to withstand the word gay related to him, joking or not. Clearly your boyfriend has issues, but I'm probably telling you something that you already know. I can't really say if there's a possibility for the two of you to overcome this on your own. Is there any chance your boyfriend would acquiesce to some counseling? If yes, that would be the way to go. He clearly needs to do a bunch of reprogramming on himself. If counseling isn't in the cards, all I can suggest you do is stroke his masculinity as much as you can. There will be a price to pay for this, but maybe you'll be able to address that later. You can tell him that you've been reading all over the internet about how much straight men are getting into their ass these days, how they are throwing off the yoke of their ass phobia and enjoying all the God-given sensations their back door has to offer. You might even offer up your own pucker by way of example. If he ever does relent and allow you to touch him down there again, that would signal that the crisis is over. But you won't be out of the woods quite yet. If the ass play does resume, you could then chat him up sometime, certainly not in the bedroom, as why he had such a virulent response to your joking. If he is honest, he will tell you what you already know from reading my response here. And I'd be willing to bet my last dollar on that. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly.
Some will wind up in the short end, but not me, baby. I know all the angles.
My, you are a clever lass. Next, we hear from E, who's 42 and writes from California, don't you know? He says, my ejaculate is very thick in consistency. I drink lots of liquids, but it doesn't seem to change. I used to shoot gobs and gobs and gobs. My health is good, my exercise is increasing, my sex life is self-monitored, but I'm concerned. Self-monitored? What in the world does that mean, I wonder? Well, E, I suspect you are comparing your 42-year-old Spooge production to the spunk you made when you were a lad. Am I right about that, darling? I thought so. That is decidedly not a good thing. I mean, do you compare your athletic prowess as a middle-aged man to the abilities you had when you were in high school? I don't think so. If I had to guess, you are creating a problem where no problem needs to be. If you are absolutely in need to shoot more jizz or joy juice of a different consistency, there are plenty of herbal treatments on the market that promise to deliver that. Look for names like Extends, IntenseX, Ejaculex, RopeX, Orgasmax, and Explosion. Don't you just love those names? Oh, and here's something you ought to know. These supplements are expensive. They don't always work, and a lot of them have unfortunate side effects like intense headaches. Of course, you could always mosey on down to your local health food store and pick up a bunch of supplements on your own. The most popular ingredients in all the products listed above are yohimbe, L-arginine, and ginkgo biloba. You'll save money by buying these supplements on your own. And if they don't work, you won't feel like such a dunce for buying into all the hype. Good luck.
You promised you wouldn't ever talk about that again.
Sorry, he asked. Gosh, you're so strict. Okay, our next correspondent is Dustin. He's 35 and writes from San Francisco. I'm a 35-year-old well-adjusted gay man. My partner of 6 years and I want to have a baby. Our best friend, a straight woman, also wants to get pregnant, but she wants to get pregnant the old-fashioned way, if you know what I mean. Unlike a lot of other gay men I know, I've never had sex with a woman. I'm like totally up for doing the deed, but let's just say I haven't a clue where to begin. I feel like I'm in high school facing sex for the first time. Even though I'm gay, I don't think vaginas are scary. I just don't know what to do. You would think that these things would come naturally to us all. I don't want to appear like I'm a bumbling fool on our conception night. I don't have anyone else to ask about this. Can you give me a quick tutorial on how to proceed? Thanks. Yikes, this is so adorable. It's like a real-life episode of Will and Grace, don't you know? And yeah, I do know what you mean when you say she wants to do it the old-fashioned way. I wasn't born yesterday. It's interesting to me that you make the analogy between your current situation and that of a guy in high school who is faced, no pun intended, with the prospect of getting lucky for the first time. It's interesting because it's basically the same situation. And no, I wouldn't agree with your assumption that this comes naturally to anyone. Just because we have complementary parts don't make the coming together of those parts naturally easy. And I'm delighted to learn that you don't have an aversion to vaginas, as some gay men do. However, not having an aversion to something and being attracted to it is certainly not the same thing. Most first-time heterosexual coupling is awkward. Neither person is particularly familiar with the intimate workings of their partner's parts. What they don't have in experience, they often do make up for in passion, and that can and does often cover a multitude of sins, so to speak. But even when there's passion, most straight women report that their first full-on fucking sexual encounter was a major disappointment. They report that their partners didn't take the time to warm them up properly, they didn't get off like their partners did, and the whole blasted thing ended much too quickly. There's a lesson in this for you, Dustin. I'm glad that you are, as you say, totally up for doing the deed, but one would hope that there would be more to this conception night than you just doing your duty. Wouldn't it be grand for both of you if you actually knew how to pleasure a woman before you jumped your best gal pal's bones to plant your seed. The same is true for her. Wouldn't it be grand for you both if she knew what buttons to push on you to raise the flag and get your juices flowing? I suggest you guys do some homework. Take all the time you need to educate yourself about the female anatomy before you take your ride. May I suggest that you spend a whole lot of time on one of my favorite sites that deals with female sexuality, clitical.com. You will be amazed at how much you can learn by paying attention to what women tell other women about their sexuality. And then, even though you are all boned up, so to speak, on female sexuality in general, you're going to need to spend some time with your gal pal discussing her particular sexual response cycle. There is absolutely no substitution for first-hand knowledge. Why not ask her to take you for a little tactile tour of her pussy and all the truly amazing points of interest therein and around? Ask her how she likes her sex. I guarantee you that she will have a preference. This oughtn't be a whole lot different than if you were talking to a new prospective male partner. All the things you might want to ask him about what he likes and what he don't are much the same things you're going to ask your gal pal. By the way, this show of interest will surely take the edge off your first encounter. Finally, I wish to add that you will probably find that your first attempt to get pregnant won't be successful. You may discover that you need to take several pokes to get the job done. To give yourself the best shot at impregnation, I suggest you guys turn your attention to gettingpregnant.com. This is your one-step resource for everything you need to know about getting knocked up. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Why not write it down? 866-422-5680.
I'm just trying to explain to you how things really are.
Hey, that's my job. Anyhow, now we hear from a very long-winded soul. He identifies himself as needing help badly, late 30s, North America. You don't say. Good day, and hoping this email finds you well. Me and my partner of nearly 10 years are experiencing a problem. It goes something like this. I'm always interested in sex, and he's almost never interested in sex. Initially, we started out with the typical honeymoon period where there was sex nearly every night and twice on Sundays. After a brief while, this proceeded normally to a couple times a week, maybe a little less. After a few years, it has deteriorated to me almost always having to beg for even a hand job, and perhaps we do more oral anal a handful of times a month, and I only get to top once or twice a year. My partner almost never initiates sexual interaction and complains that I am always asking. We are very compatible in other respects and really love each other, but I have a 20 libido on a scale of 1 to 10, and he has a 1 or 2 on that same scale. This is starting to lead to tension in other parts of our relationship, even though we try our best not to allow it. We are currently in a closed relationship, with my partner citing, in the past, personal beliefs about monogamy and monogamous relationships. Recently, he has been entertaining the idea of opening the relationship to allow me to seek relief for my sexual needs through other channels. He says that his views have changed and that he is taking a more realistic view on how we should proceed. We just discussed rules for opening the relationship and are in the process of looking at our options for secondary partners. The rules we have thus far are as follows. 1. Either of us may play with another person outside of the relationship. 2. The primary partner has absolute veto power over the choice of the other play partner. 3. Safe sex must be observed at all times and absolutely no transfer of body fluids outside of the primary relationship. 4. If a play partner comes to our house to play and the primary partner is home, an offer to allow him to join in must be made. 5. As soon as possible after an outside encounter, or preferably before, the primary partner must be told of the play session. Not the gory details, just, hey, me and so-and-so had some fun last night, to keep the lines of communication open. 6. More discussion may be initiated at the request of the non-play partner, but not readily offered. 7. You always, always, always come home to your primary partner at night. 8. Secondary play partners must remain discreet about our play sessions and respect the boundaries established by the primary partnership. Can you advise me on the following? A. Do you think this will help or hinder our relationship? B. Do you think the rules we have set down are adequate? C. Any other suggestion for rules? D. Any other comments or suggestions in general? Thank you. Whoosh, darling, how you do go on. First, I'd suggest that you guys rethink your choice of words when you are talking about your relationship. Monogamous means one wife, you know, as opposed to polygamous, which means more than one wife. Since neither one of you is a woman, that word doesn't fit your situation. I know, the popular culture uses the word indiscriminately to describe any sexually exclusive relationship, but we don't have to misuse words just because everyone else does. Besides, using the less encumbered word exclusive as opposed to the culturally laden monogamous will free you up from old ways of thinking about your relationship. And if you don't believe me, try it yourself. Say out loud, "We have a non-exclusive relationship." Now say, "We are not monogamous." There is a difference, huh? I told you so. I applaud your negotiating skills. I think you guys have come up with a viable framework for launching out in search of satellite relationships. You will probably find that some fine-tuning is necessary as you make your way, but I believe your foundation is sound. There's one thing for sure. Your bullet point number 8 is completely outside of your control. You will learn, in short order, that you won't be able to manage your satellite's partner's behaviors. Expecting discretion from a casual hookup or a newly found fuck buddy is simply unrealistic. The girls are gonna talk, hon, no matter what you say. Finally, I suggest you and your primary partner keep an open mind about it all. You'd also do well to maintain a sense of humor. Good luck.
Not me that needs a Dr. Blanche.
I'm not totally convinced of that, my dear. Anyhow, finally we have our product review, and this week it's the Virgenza Mach 1, which is $140. For images of this beauty and information on where to buy it, look for the review number 11 under the product reviews tab right there on drdicksexadvice.com. I can't believe you want me to stick this beautiful thing in my ass. That's my friend Ken talking, as he slowly removes the Virgenza Mach 1 from its stylish velvet pouch and lazily rolls it around in his hands. It is stunning, isn't it, I say, with equal admiration. But hey, why shouldn't your ass or someone's pussy be treated to something as beautiful as this all the time? Ken nods in agreement. Yeah, you're right, my ass deserves the best. Thus, I am happy to report a love affair was born. Ken is, as we say here at Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, the consummate B.O.B., big ol' bottom. His hole is the center of his universe. Where other men are dick-centric, Ken is decidedly ass-centric. Not only does he know his way around his butt, but he has trained many others to savor the intense pleasure only butt play can produce. And one of his trainees is his sometimes play partner, Denise. So I know at once that Ken would be the ideal person to put the Virgenza Mark I through its paces. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to lay before you the vision that is the Virgenza. It is composed of aircraft quality spun aluminum, a safe, non-porous, and sterile material. It's 8 inches long and 1.25 inches wide. It weighs nearly a pound. We will soon discover that this heft is going to come in handy, but I digress. It's also a double header. Each end is sculpted into a different configuration, and each end is insertable. The 6 consecutive orbs on the one end provides a delightfully bumpy ride to heaven. The opposite end is shorter, sleekly tapered, and smooth to insert. You will also notice that each end is not only functional as a dildo, but also as a plug. There is a difference, you know. Notice the traditional notch and tapering that allows your sphincter to close around and lock either end into place. That, sex fans, is what transforms a common dildo into a butt plug. Again, this little tidbit will come into play when we hear back from Ken. For those unfamiliar with the concept of a metal insertable, you are missing out. This high-grade aluminum is unbeatable in terms of smoothness and versatility. It is non-toxic, and it is the easiest material to keep sanitary because it's non-porous. Unlike that other exceptionally versatile material, glass, aluminum will not break or shatter. And the Virgenza is domestically manufactured, so you'll never have to worry about where it came from, who made it, under what conditions, or the quality of the material used. And considering the state of a lot of imported sex toys these days, that's a huge relief. Everyday cleanup is a snap with soap and water. To sterilize, simply drop it into a pot of boiling water for a minute or two. Or, if you are completely fagged out by all your play, you can just pop the blasted thing in the dishwasher before you drift off to a well-deserved post-coital nap. Now, let's get back to Ken and find out what kind of mischief he's gotten into since he left my house with the Virgenza tucked safely under his arm. As I suspected, Ken reserved the first ride for himself, no fool he. To kick things up a notch, Ken decided to chill the Virgenza Mach 1 before he began his solo play. "There's nothing like cold metal on a hot hole to produce an earth-shaking orgasm," he proclaims loudly. I forgot to mention that metal insertables can be warmed and chilled to create unique sensations beyond the feelings produced by the insertion itself. Apparently, Ken had the time of his life buggering himself senseless with one end of the Virgenza Mach 1 and then the other. Ken really liked the heft of this wand the best. He said that beside the pleasure it induced as a dildo, it turned out to be the most amazing tool for toning up his PC muscles. Doing Kegels with this thing in your ass is quite the workout. Ken knows what every power bottom knows. Taut and toned PC muscles keep his caboose from going slack and saggy. I have a play party set up with Denise for tomorrow, so I'll be able to introduce the Virgenza Mach 1 to her pussy then. She's going to be one happy camper. Everyone here at Dr. Dick's Sex Advice waited with bated breath for the following report to come in, and it did in less than 36 hours. You gotta love a man who is so prompt in his reporting. Denise got off on this thing big time. She loved the heft and the density of the Virgenza Mach 1. She liked the end with the bumps the best. The smooth end was nice, and it seemed to stimulate her G-spot better than the bumpy end, but she couldn't get enough of those bumps. She's kind of a freak that way. Hey, how's that old saying go? Ribbed for her pleasure? Ken went on to say that once Denise got off on vaginal stimulation a couple of times, he flipped her over for some of that promised backdoor action. Ken wants me to remind everyone that going from pussy to ass pleasure is okay, but definitely not the reverse. Never put anything that has been in an ass anywhere else, especially not in a vagina. Before the flip, Ken completely cleaned the Virgenza Mach 1 with hand soap and lots of hot water. This really warmed up the magic wand for his ass salt on Denise's butt. She completely loved the warm sensations, and this thing really held its heat for a considerably long time, so he reported. In the butt play department, Denise favored the tapered smooth end to the end with the bumps. She said that it was the best plug she had ever experienced. Denise agreed with Ken. The weight of the Virgenza Mach 1 made for a challenging Kegel exerciser. This is another good reason why this toy is so great. It's so damn versatile. Okay, so the consensus is that the Virgenza Mach 1 is well worth its high-end price. Dramatic design, stunning craftsmanship, and versatility make it a toy that you will be proud to own. One that will last a lifetime. Enjoy.
Just about done, honey.
Oh my God, look at the time. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself and all the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you just better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my product review page. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Hey, feel free to leave a comment when you do.
I don't understand.
Actually, this is not rocket science, darling. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Ah, that's even better. Over and out.